Now get ready for the hottest talk show of the year, Crime Time Live, with your host, renowned attorney Scott Weinberg. Brought to you live by Clear Channel Radio and syndicated nationally on TalkZone.com. Discuss all the sizzling hot cases making headline news today and how you can protect your rights. And now, here's your host, Scott Weinberg.
Good morning. Oh, it's a beautiful Saturday morning here in Metro Detroit. Hey, should we give up our rights to be free from assaults on our liberty? Should we give it up simply to feel safe on airplanes? Has the government gone too far in subjecting us to an intrusive scanner and body search? Well, we're going to get to that and what's going on in our airports this Thanksgiving weekend. In a related matter, terrorist suspects arrested in Belgium in a terrorist attack. Is that what we're going to have to get to here in Metro Detroit to feel comfortable? We have to get a terrorist attack and then have to be comfortable being searched? We're going to talk about that. How does our society treat Good Samaritans? We're going to talk to one of the top doctors here in this country about that. Should people be allowed to help out others in need in an emergency situations? And what do we actually do to try to protect them? We'll get to those questions and concerns all after the news and a break. Call us at 248-848-1310. Join the conversation. This is Crime Time Live.
Janine Marks, a 12-year-old, was fairly normal. She spent a lot of time online. One day, she met a new friend. The new friend had the same problems at home. They liked the same bands. They worried about the same subjects in school. They promised to keep each other's secrets. They wished they went to the same junior high. The new friend had good news. He said he was going to be in Janine's area one Saturday. He thought it would be amazing if they could just hang out, go to the mall. Janine agreed. The new friend didn't want parents messing this up. Janine showed up alone. So did her new friend, who wasn't in junior high, wasn't nice, and wasn't a 14-year-old boy. Last year, one in five children was sexually solicited online. Help delete online predators. Call 1-800-THE-LOST or visit cybertipline.com to learn how to protect your kids' online life. A message from the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children and the Ad Council.
Have you or a loved one been arrested or charged with a crime? Do you want to stay out of jail and keep your record clean? Hi, I'm attorney Scott Weinberg, host of Crime Time Live, heard Saturday mornings 11 to 12 noon on 1310 WDTW. Call my office anytime to protect your rights at 1-800-NO-JAIL-1 or go to our website at 1-800-NO-JAIL-1.com. We have payment plans for everyone's budget. There should never be a price on protecting your rights. Call 1-800-NO-JAIL and the number one right now.
Welcome back to the show. That's right, our old friend Tom DeLay back in the news. Can you believe convicted another government official convicted of a crime in Austin, Texas? Texas jury on Wednesday convicted former House Majority Leader Tom DeLay. We've talked about him many times for funneling corporate money to help elect GOP candidates. When are they going to learn? When are they going to learn that they can't take advantage of their role? They cannot take advantage, once they get in office, of their power. It happens all the time. We were talking about Vermont and that guy last week. Vermont man killed in a gun prank. A 24-year-old Vermont man killed, fatally shot by a friend who used a gun. You know, we talk about our Second Amendment rights all the time here. And it's idiots like this. It's people like this that give the Second Amendment a bad name. They think, no, they'll point to, you can have a gun, but you can't be a criminal, and therefore we shouldn't have our Second Amendment rights. Don't point to these idiots. Don't point to the people that aren't legally getting them to take away our Second Amendment rights. The alleged shooter apparently tried to prank his sleeping friend by waking him with the loud sound of an air rifle. Can you believe that? Police said that he mistakenly used a real rifle to commit the prank. I mean, if that isn't got to be one of the saddest and yet stupidest crimes, we should have that on our Stupid Crimes segment. We're going to do that next week. Chicago police officer killed in a double shooting. Chicago police processing a burglary scene and another person were fatally shot. See, what'll happen is, this is what'll happen. The liberal left will go and point to that, and they'll say again, another shooting, another time where we should restrict our Second Amendment rights. When, you know, when people actually get their CCWs and they go get trained, those aren't the ones that are going to be committing crimes against police. They're not pulling out their guns in the robberies. They're not going down the street and robbing houses. They're not going to the bars and sticking up the bartenders. That's not what happens. It's the idiots that get them illegally on the street. They have no training. They got no responsibility. And they give the bad name to the people that want to be able to have their guns properly handled. They want to be able to properly get licensed. They want to be able to get their Second Amendment rights intact, kept intact. And the liberals will point to the fact that, hey, listen, there's crime all over. We need gun control. We don't need gun control. We need responsible people. That's what we need, and we need to teach that in many different ways. In the schools, we need to teach it in many different, in our homes. That's what we need to teach, proper gun control. If a guy has a CCW and he's into the Second Amendment and he knows his rights, he should teach it to his son so he's responsible. It's crazy what kind of ways the liberal left will point to the fact that we should lose our rights in the Second Amendment. And yet the conservative right will point to that everybody should be able to get a gun. That's crazy. Do you hear about this Westland woman? She was arraigned. $350,000 she stole from her mom. A Westland woman charged with stealing more than $250,000, $350,000 from her mother. The mother was on pension, retirement, Social Security, and her caregiver stealing money for the last 5 years. See, now that's the kind of person that people really feel they should get all charges against him and throw him in jail. Her preliminary exam is December 2nd here in Wayne County. The prosecutor's office, obviously the elder abuse unit, is handling it. I can't imagine a greater breach of the trust. This is what the prosecutor's saying. Oftentimes we, as people, trust the most of the ones, those are in our family. And yet when they violate that trust, they're the ones that should go away. We're going to watch that case over the next couple of weeks. We're going to see what the police are doing with it, trying to protect elderly's rights. But I tell you, one of the best ways to do it is rarely ever have your kids take care of your finances unless you have a bank or someone else in control of that child. Do you hear about that that sex case with the priest? Listen to this. The priest solicited a murder of a boy, accusing him of a sex case. A Catholic priest facing criminal charges in a lawsuit alleging that he sexually abused a teenager is now charged with attempting to hire someone to kill the youth. Reverend John Fayala was in Dallas County Court charged with one of the crime of criminal sexual conduct, trying to commit capital murder. So basically, he was out on bond and he was charged with it, and now he's trying to get someone to kill that kid. Now, if they don't point to that as a reason not to keep someone in jail, not on bond, I don't know what it is. We're going to get to some of the other stories later on here today. We're going to turn to one of our questions of the day. What is going on with the screening? What should we do with the screeners by these TSA? Are they well-trained? Should we let them violate our constitutional rights and be free from unreasonable search and seizures? Should the Fourth Amendment apply to our government as we're walking through airports? Well, after the break, we're going to come back. We're going to talk about that and a range of different issues. You want to join the conversation, you call 248-848-1310. This is Scott Weinberg on Crime Time Live.
Have you or a loved one been arrested or charged with a crime? Do you want to stay out of jail and keep your record clean? Hi, I'm attorney Scott Weinberg, host of Crime Time Live, heard Saturday mornings 11 to 12 noon on 1310 WDTW. Call my office anytime to protect your rights at 1-800-NO-JAIL-1 or go to our website at 1-800-NO-JAIL-1.com. We have payment plans for everyone's budget. There should never be a price on protecting your rights. Call 1-800-NO-JAIL-1 right now.
When my family found out I was on drugs, they were just terrified.
Everyone that loves her was devastated.
I mean, it got to the point where my mom couldn't even sleep if I wasn't home.
My parents almost got a divorce because of my drug use.
They were constantly bailing me out of trouble and paying off drug dealers and pawn shops and lawyers and hospital bills.
I don't think I'd ever cried as much in my entire life.
There was no time that she didn't worry about what was going on with me, and you could see it on her face.
He did not know how to take control of his life. The drugs had done it.
It was the closest thing to walking death I can imagine.
And I remember my mother saying to me one day, "You're going to die if you don't get help." I wanted to have my life back and my family back. And that's when my mother found Narcanon.
If you or someone you love has a drug or alcohol problem, call Narcanon today at 1-800-468-6933 or visit us at www.stopaddiction.com.
Welcome back to the show. I don't want to get molested at the airport. I don't. I do not want someone touching me as I go through the security. But what am I willing to give up for that? See, that's the question we have to ask. The TSA pat-down search abuse is all around this country now. I mean, it is. Should we give up our right to feel safe and object to the TSA doing it? See, that's the point. At many airports around the U.S., the U.S. Transportation Security Administration is using full-body scanner machines and also allowing more invasive pat-down searches. While passengers are supposed to be what? Supposed to be told that they have a right to opt out of it. And what happens if they opt out of the scanners? Well, you know it's going to happen, right? You're going to get patted down by a uneducated, poorly trained, hopefully the same sex person, so a man and a man and a woman and a woman, that's going to pat you down, probably inappropriately, won't find the things that are probably necessary to find. If these idiots are going to really blow up a plane, you think they're going to do it so that this guy who's probably trained for an hour is going to find it in your body cavity? That ain't going to happen. It's just not going to happen. They're poorly trained. We're joined here today by three other individuals. We're happy to have them here. They just happen to be two of my brothers and my nephew. One's a doctor. The other one is a businessman, an insurance guy. The other one is going to take Wall Street by storm. But we're going to be asking questions that basically anybody can answer, and I want to get everybody's opinion on it. You call me at 248-848-1310, and this is the question. Do you feel safer on an airplane? Do you feel safer, James, on an airplane when you go through and everybody goes through the searches through security? Do you just feel safer? Does it make you feel better that everybody has to go through it?
I feel a little safer. I would not say that I feel they would catch everything that somebody might have a plan for, but I feel a little safer.
My personal belief is I feel a lot safer. But the problem is it doesn't even go half far. What they need, this is what I think. They should take a line after the Israelis. Listen, the Israelis don't do all the pat-down searches to find out if you're a terrorist. They're trained to look in your eyes and say you fit the known profile of someone who might be hiding something. They'll talk to them for 15 minutes. Now, I know what you'll say. It's not possible with the millions of people that go through the United States airports as opposed to maybe the two in Israel to go through that. But if we had less money spent on scanners and these idiots trying to pat me down and more on training on specialists that can look me in the eye and talk to me for a minute and that kind of profile, not if he's an Arab or a Jew or a black, but someone who basically is suspected in certain other ways to be a terrorist. His body language, the way he answers questions. That's the kind of training we need from someone. Pete, what do you want to do about that? Should we have actually that kind of search, or should we profile people?
Yeah. Hello?
Yeah, Pete, can you hear me?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, we should profile. This is, we have brought Abu Ghraib to the airport. By the way, they are not telling you the fact is that they have females and males looking at females and males at those body scanners.
You mean the scanners in the back? Yeah.
In the back. Otherwise, they're playing musical chairs, and you know they're not doing that.
So you think that they have...
No one has ever asked that question.
So you think you're questioning on these full-body scanners. Well, first of all, you got to know that not everybody's getting a full-body scan.
Right.
They selectively pick people, supposedly randomly, not profiling, which I like to see the statistic on that, but supposedly randomly, to go through the scanner, go away from the ordinary scanner and go to the full-body scanner. And what you're saying... Correct me if I'm wrong.
Right.
That they have one or one individual who's on a shift doing that viewing of that, which obviously looks at your skin, or at least the outline of your body. We can show your genitals, and that might not be the same sex person. Is that what you're saying?
Right. Yeah. No. I can't hardly hear you. But anyway, I just want to make the point that no one has asked the question of who are they. Who's viewing these different people? Otherwise, they're playing musical chairs, and you know that's not happening.
Well,
thank you. Yeah.
All right, I'll let you go. Yeah, you know, listen, I don't know whether or not that is the case. I don't know. I don't know whether or not they do those shift changes. But to me, you want to know the truth? I don't really care if someone wants to look at me naked and some other... No one wants to look at me naked anyway, including my wife. But if they want to look at me naked... in some room in the back, and they can't identify who I am, I don't have a problem with that. It probably violates my Fourth Amendment rights against my privacy. But you know what? I want to be safe on the airplane. That's not the problem. The problem is, I don't think that's going to ever catch anybody. That's not how terrorists are coming on our planes. They're not. Listen, I want to make sure that they do the same for the pilot. You know what I mean? When's the last time you went on a plane and knew what the background of the pilot was? You trust the company he works for that they did enough research on that pilot to know that he's not a terrorist, that he's not somehow influenced. What about the stewardess and the flight attendants and the mechanics and people working in the baggage? I don't know about them. Are they going through these full-body scanners and the searches? I don't know. See, that's the problem.
They actually are.
They're going through them too?
Yeah, I heard a story about how pilots were complaining because they have to go through it so many times every month, and the chances of cancer or something like that through the machines that they have to go through.
See, that's where we need to make sure our security. So if that's true, that's exactly what we need, is the personnel that has access to it. They're the ones that are the first point of focus. Let's make sure that they are not, we're trusting ourselves with them. They can't be the ones that we have to have any question about. Now, do I think they're really going and getting x-rays that's going to affect them? What do you think, doctor? Dr. Doug, do you think that's going to affect them at all, those x-rays going through there periodically?
No, I imagine that they would need an awful lot of x-rays before it would really truly affect them.
I think the sun's radiation has more radiation on them when they're flying around thousands of miles a year than those stupid little x-ray machines. I agree. I don't think it's going to affect it at all. You know, I listened actually to the guy who invented the full-body scanner machine. He says there's very, very little type of radiation. I bet you get more from an x-ray, taking the x-ray of your body at the doctor's office than you do at these things. You want to join us, you call us at 248-848-1310. But people are going crazy all over this country about this. You know, they were protesting at the airport. They were saying that they were trying to encourage people not to go through the scanners and then refuse to do the body searches. Sacramento, a local woman, airline passenger, says she felt like she was violated after a recent security scan, and that all women would be violated to have their breasts touched like that. There are all kinds of tips about how to get through security, but this woman, she's saying she got targeted, basically, by the members of the TSA, that she was giving them lip. And so they said, fine, you're going to get your full body search. You know, she submitted to it, but you know what? She felt totally violated by it. And the question is, do you think that even if you are being searched legally by the TSA, is it still an assault? You joined us at 248-848-1310. And you let me know whether or not you think our Fourth Amendment rights cover whether or not when you go into this airport that you should actually now give up your right to be able to be searched. Because the rule is basically you can go into an airport and leave and you don't have to submit to any kind of search. But once you cross that line, that little stupid line with the TSA and the security under the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, they say now you've given up your right to revoke your privilege. Now you don't have a privilege. Now it's their right because it's a government administrated building that you have to go forward with it. And they'll stop you and they can search you. And basically they can do anything they want to make sure that you are protected under the Constitution other than probably beat you. But whether or not it's violating your Fourth Amendment rights, that's something I'm not sure about. I think that if you actually have the opportunity to refuse to go forward with it, and you don't take that opportunity to refuse, you'll never know. Johnny, what do you got to say? Johnny, can you hear me?
Yes, uh-huh.
What do you got to say? Do we lose our right to refuse it? Should we lose our right once we go through that security?
No, I don't think we should refuse to go through that, but I have a suggestion. I don't know if they would look at it from that perspective, but
what's
I have
that?
A suggestion.
What's your suggestion?
My suggestion that a man wouldn't feel as bad if a woman searched him.
Yeah, well, you know, listen, you can say the same thing why men don't go to women doctors, too. But why? You think that they should have the other sex searching as long as it's a woman searching
right,
a man?
Right, right.
Well, let me ask you a question. Do you go to a woman doctor or do you go to a male doctor?
I would like a woman doctor.
Yeah, but who do you actually go to?
Well, I've been to both, but mostly be a man doctor.
Yeah. See, I think many people go to a sex of the same sex physician because they just, especially it's invasive.
Yeah.
You know, if they're just diagnosing, it might be a different story. But they got to take off their pants. Many times,
yeah,
people feel
to,
comfortable
we
with their saying.
Realistic that you have to face reality that if the enemy is listening to us rejecting something, then the enemy is saying, "Well, goodness, they open the door more for us." You have to have some power to fight the evil in society. And if the enemy sit up and say, well, they don't want this to happen, well, this will make it more easy for us. So whatever that the search is going to make it more harder for them.
Well, it's true that there is a lot of evil in society, and we have to do many things in our government. We have government control to be able to protect us from others. I mean, we are crazy people that are absolutely going to go into airports, going to go into bus stations, going to go into government buildings and try to cause havoc, blow it up, do whatever they're going to do. But you can't. We're in a free society. You can't protect every part of a free society. Jay, what do you got to say about that? Should we be able to do this? Should
no,
they be?
This is
are they violating our rights by doing this?
This is absolutely ridiculous. No other country on this planet is doing to its own citizens what we're doing. And it's just a matter of time before some terrorists, you know, looking at what's going on, start swallowing balloons or puts it up, you know, their rear or whatever, and they remove it while they get on the plane. And because the security measures that we're doing now won't see those things.
Right.
Then they'll be asking women, is that a tampon or is that a bomb?
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean,
well,
they need better profiling.
They're doing this. Michael Chertoff goes from Homeland Security Department to selling these machines, making a hell of a lot of money, and for what purpose? I mean, if that's not a pure conflict of interest, if I've ever heard one, there's one. I think this is absolutely absurd. And I think that they are violating the Fourth Amendment rights, and people are like sheep. They're just like, oh, well, if it'll keep me safe. Now, what happens when the next plane explodes and we don't have any idea why it happened? Are they going to ask for a stool sample at that point? Are they going to start asking for blood samples?
Well,
are they going to ask
case?
For your firstborn? I mean, there's no end to this crap because, you know, Benjamin Franklin told us straight up, anybody that will trade their privacy for a little bit of security ends up getting neither. And that's where we're at. You know.
So how do we do that? Wait, Jay, so answer me this. So how do we protect ourselves from someone who might blow up a plane? What is your suggestion?
First off, the Christmas underwear bomber.
Yeah.
Okay. He was turned in by his own father.
Right.
Okay. And
that's exactly
nobody,
right.
Nobody at Homeland Security knew a thing.
They never caught him. They never caught him because of these security measures.
He got into this country without a passport. You know what? What the hell is going on about people coming into the country. If you don't know who's coming into your country, why are you frisking all your citizens? I don't remember any of those hijackers on 9/11 being American citizens. They were here on student visas illegally forever, and nobody seemed to know where they were. But if you or I, as citizens, forget to pay their taxes in any one year, you can best believe that the IRS will be finding you very soon. So, I mean, our priority is, well, the priority of the Bush regime and all those people is to keep us terrified, absolutely petrified, afraid. There's going to be terrorism.
Yeah, but you know what? Here, I mean, here's the way I feel about it. In terms of, you can have governments that are conservative or liberal. They're going to have different kind of policies. But when you look at how did we catch that underwear bomber earlier in the year, we didn't catch him through any highfalutin security, any Patriot Act measures by scanners. The own guy's dad turned him in. I mean, we need people that are going to be able to look at someone like the Israelis at their airport and to be able to see, other than using objective machines, whether or not they're a threat. A family member, like a whistleblower, has to be encouraged to turn them in. I mean, is there any other way to do it other than violating our Fourth Amendment rights? I don't think there is. I think you got to be able to have people trained, or you got to encourage people to do the right thing. Like that guy turned in his son. Caller, what do you have to say?
Well, you know what? A lot of the hysteria about this is from this right-wing radio talk show guys and these guys on TV like Hannity and Limbaugh and all these other people stirring up all this trouble here.
Stir up hysteria.
And on a daily basis, that's all they're blowing hot air about this. A year ago, they were screaming we were unsafe with the underwear bomber. Now, a year later, they're screaming that not to be afraid of the terrorists, be afraid of our president, actually. I mean, this is what it's really coming down to now. Don't be afraid of the terrorists blowing. Be more afraid of our president. I mean, isn't that the underlying message here now with all this hysteria that's being built by this noise machine on the right? Be afraid of President Obama. The TSA is a fascist faction of government.
Wow, but isn't any security program of the executive branch considered like that, whether it's under Obama or Bush? I mean, it's the executive branch saying we need to take police measures. That's what it is. I mean, scanners like this at airports is a police measure.
Yes, but am I incorrect about this? Is the noise machine on the right is really telling people to be afraid of our president? I mean, isn't that what they're really trying to get across in frightening people to actually not be afraid of terrorists, be afraid of our president?
Yeah, but you know what? I think the right would have said the same type of things if Bush was in office and he was implementing these things too.
I totally disagree. They'd be Trump touting him as a hero, a savior. He's going to save us. He's protecting us. I totally disagree with you.
Hey, not all that religious right loved Bush.
Rush Limbaugh would be on the radio every day telling the people, oh, look how safe we are now. And, of course, he never flies on commercial flights anyway. I mean, he's got private planes. All these rich guys do.
Yeah.
I mean, they're all talking about, you know, all these abuses, but they don't get on those planes, you know, so.
Well, I can tell you right now, the reason why guys on the right, Hannity, Limbaugh, anybody who's you would consider a right-wing conservative is going to mention anything against the current government is because they want their guy back in. I mean, they want their guy back in. It doesn't mean they're right. It just means that they want their guy back in, period. They want
to
make sure that they have control.
Who is a Democrat? They want a Republican. Our president is a Democrat. Be afraid of him because he's this evil guy violating our rights that you're voluntarily having to submit to. I mean, nobody, like you said, you can always leave. You don't have to fly. You can take a covered wagon.
You know, that's the other thing, too. You're right. You don't have to. Thanks for calling. You don't have to actually fly. You know, you don't want to go and get searched. You don't want to go through these scanners. Go drive to grandmother's house. You go drive to Chicago. You don't have to fly in here. You can avoid it if you want. It's your request to go in and fly. After the break, we're going to get back to that, and we're going to talk about Good Samaritans. Should we ever, ever help someone out when they are in trouble? Should we actually ever take a risk that we might get sued? We're going to talk about that after the break. You stay tuned at Crime Time Live.
Sergeant Matthew Kyle was on his second tour in Iraq when injured.
I was shot in the neck by an Iraqi sniper on combat patrols.
As a quadriplegic, Sergeant Kyle will require specialized medical care and benefits for the rest of his life. That's where Paralyzed Veterans of America can help. National Service Officer Bobby Hager explains.
A National Service Officer exists solely to help veterans get their benefits. We're able to fill out all of the forms and applications and ask for all of the benefits that that veteran's entitled to.
Matthew's wife, Tracy Kyle.
We don't have the knowledge to go through this by ourselves. And these benefits are going to take you through the rest of your life.
If you don't ask for a benefit, the VA can't give it to you. The veteran doesn't know what to ask for.
We could not have done this journey without the Paralyzed Veterans of America.
Paralyzed Veterans is an independent, not-for-profit organization founded by vets for vets.
To help, visit pva.org.
Have you or a loved one been arrested or charged with a crime? Do you want to stay out of jail and keep your record clean? Hi, I'm attorney Scott Weinberg, host of Crime Time Live, heard Saturday mornings 11 to 12 noon on 1310 WDTW. Call my office anytime to protect your rights at 1-800-NO-JAIL-1 or go to our website at 1-800-NO-JAIL-1.com. We have payment plans for everyone's budget. There should never be a price on protecting your rights. Call 1-800-NO-JAIL and the number one right now.
Welcome back to the show. I am getting all riled up about our rights today here on Crime Time Live. You want to join the conversation, you call it 248-848-1310. You let me know. You know, we were talking about our security measures, about how to be safe, how to actually protect our own Fourth Amendment rights against intrusion by others. But, you know, something came up, and I wanted to talk about it because we got the opportunity to have an actual doctor in our studio today. And, you know, one of the things that I am always curious about is the Good Samaritan law. You know, you always talk about people doing the right thing. You talk about when someone actually is in trouble, right? Someone is, let's say, on an airplane and they get sick and you got a doctor on the airplane. What should they do? Should a doctor be worried about getting sued if they help him? What are the rules in terms about having our own personal responsibility to take care of someone, whether a doctor or anybody, and yet be worried about whether we're going to be sued? I mean, that Good Samaritan turns around in every base, in every place, just like we talked about with the bomber last winter. This was a man who got turned in by his own dad. He was a whistleblower. He got turned in regardless of consequences. Should you ever be worried as a whistleblower, whether it's against your family, should be worried whether or not you are on an airplane and someone is coughing, whether or not you're going to be sued and you want to be a Good Samaritan to help them out? When are we ever liable for those type of situations? We're going to talk to Dr. Doug here and find out. You ever been in a situation where you actually had to help someone like that, where they were in trouble? Were you worried about helping them? Were you worried about being sued?
No, I was not. It's happened to me three times in the last 5 years, two times on an airplane and once on a train. All three times they announced that they needed a physician on the plane or train, and I volunteered. I had no problem helping the individual in trouble, and I never worried about being sued. I suppose maybe I should have a little bit.
Do doctors do that? Do they feel that, oh, man, I don't want to touch that guy. I might do something wrong, and I might get sued. Do they ever have that situation where it stops them from helping them out?
I'm not an expert on that, so I don't know. I just know personally that has not crossed my mind. If somebody's in trouble, I'll try to help them. I would like to think that most physicians would feel the same way and volunteer and help someone.
You want to join this conversation, you call it 248-848-1310. You know, it's more about being responsible. I mean, you know, listen, we happen to have a doctor in the studio who can talk about that, but it's about your individual responsibility. You know, let's say you're even working at a company, and you find out that they are stealing, that someone is doing something against the government. They're not paying their taxes, and you want to be a whistleblower. Should you be able to be remunerated for that? I mean, whistleblowers get that all the time. They'll turn in people. They'll be a Good Samaritan. Not to save someone's life, not to go and bring them back to life by CPR, but they'll go and they'll turn in someone because they think, not necessarily because it's the right thing to do, but because they can make money from it. I mean, should we reward Good Samaritans? Should we reward someone who helps someone else who needs CPR? Should we reward them and pay them? Should we reward whistleblowers that are working for companies and try to pay them so they'll do, quote, the right thing? You want to join this conversation, you call 248-848-1310. I want a young man's perspective here. We got a young man from New York who's from Wall Street. You ever had, I mean, what do you think? Do you think we should move it? We should actually reward people when they do the right thing like that?
I think that's a tough question. I mean, it's something where, you know, if by rewarding people, you're going to get more people to step up, and maybe take action that they wouldn't have otherwise taken that has benefits to society, then maybe it makes sense. You'd like to think that you wouldn't have to do that. But, I think in cases where you're going to get somebody to take action that they wouldn't have otherwise that has real benefits, then maybe it's worth it.
You know, I agree, except we punish the people that do the wrong thing. Listen, I'm a criminal lawyer. I represent people that get punished every single day. You might think that the state is doing justice. What they're doing is they're punishing the people that do wrong. That's what they're doing. Well, why can't we pay people to do the right thing? Why can't we pay someone so that they don't feel uncomfortable to do the right thing? If by the way, it's finding a wallet on the street. It's helping someone who actually fell down and now, you know, they have to be taken to the hospital. It's doing the right thing at work. It's rewarding people for turning in the person that's committing a crime. I mean, why can't we reward people like that? Do you think we'll get more responsible people if we pay them with money to do the right thing?
I mean, I think that's tough because if you institute a policy, if you institute a policy where, you know, people have the expectation that by taking those actions they're going to get remuneration in some form, I think that could be a dangerous system. I think it probably has to be done on more of a case by case basis because you don't want people expecting that.
Well, I have a counter to that. How are you going to measure that? Can you imagine all the people that are going to start making things up? And, you know, if you're going to start paying people to be do-gooders, how are you going to measure? How are you going to measure
that? Well, do you mean they're going to lie? They're just going to come up with stuff so they can make money? Are you talking about our society like that?
I am absolutely saying that is going to happen.
Well,
that would be a risk.
Well, yeah. I mean, listen, you can always have people be profiteers, right? And they're going to be wanting to make up things so that just they'll be remunerated or to be able to be thought of better. Listen, don't we have that in one way in our military, too? Let me ask you a question. This guy, it was a tremendous man. He just got the Medal of Honor, right? Which and never happens, actually, usually to a live person. It's only a dead person because they've lost their life because they tried to save someone or a troop, something in war. Here, a man actually risked his life, and he didn't do it for profiteering. Do you think he really did it because he thought he'd be able to, a year and a half later, be on TV getting the Medal of Honor from the president and getting all these awards? He did it because it was the right thing. But how do we get more of those? How do we get more people like that? I think it's almost impossible to figure out how to do that in this society. Ken, what do you have a question for? You got a question for me, Ken?
Yes, I do. Talking about people who do the right thing, Scott, at least in Michigan, doing the right thing can actually get you thrown in jail here.
Yeah, what are you talking
about?
It's
real difficult to fight something like that when the people who want you in jail are rich and well-connected government officials who want to shut you up, and a guy like me who is destitute can't get a lawyer like you.
Well, you can always get me, my friend. You can always just
call
me up on the phone at 248-855-1400. But, you know, you had a whistleblower case, didn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, listen, people can have, they can try to do the right thing and basically get messed up and basically screwed by our government. I mean, there are people with a tremendous amount of money that can try to shut someone down. And because Ken was trying to do the right thing on his some type of whistleblower case, he got shut down. And I mean, the government, they got more money than all of us.
I got thrown in jail, Scott, for telling the truth.
Well, Next time, you got to give me a call at 248-848-1400.
Imagine Kwame Kilpatrick having Jerry Brown thrown in jail.
Don't get me started with Kwame. Don't get me started with that.
And that can happen because I can't. I mean, if you don't have the money to have, you know, hire these $200,000, $300,000 for lawyers, you can't get justice. That's all there is to it. I mean, what can you say?
Well, can you stay on the phone? I'm going to get you my number so we can talk off the air about that. But I tell you, you got to get a law firm. Listen, we offer, we represent all different kind of people. We're criminal lawyers. But when someone can't afford it up front, we let them have payment plans. And we try to bend over backwards for that. You got to always find a lawyer that's willing to do that. You don't need a lawyer that's going to want his $10,000 to $20,000 up front and be able to represent. You need a lawyer, whether it's our firm or any other firm, family law firm, a bankruptcy firm, you get someone who believes in your cause enough so that they will bend over backwards to take care of you. I mean, that there are too many lawyers, too many good lawyers out there that you can meet with and that can help you out and will bend over backwards to help you out as opposed to going someone who was just looking for the money. I mean, that's the bottom line. You have a problem finding them, you can call me during the week at 248-855-1400. But let me tell you something. I will find you that lawyer so that we can actually work with him and protect your rights. You want to call, join the conversation, you call it 248-848-1310. We're talking about doing the right thing. Good Samaritans. Good Samaritans in all areas of the world. You know, Alan, you live in New York City. Do you find that people are doing the right thing? Do you find, I mean, let me ask you a question. You see a guy that loses a wallet on the street. Are you going to break your back to go get that wallet back to him?
I mean, I think in that circumstance where it's something that simple, you know, somebody dropping something.
Because you see it happen.
Yeah. I mean, you see it happen. It's easy to help, so you help. Now, you know, that's something where you're not putting yourself at risk. So I would think a lot of people would actually step up and help. You know, so if it's something where you're putting yourself at risk, that's a different story.
Okay, what about Wall Street? We got Wall Street. Are the people that now, we feel Wall Street was basically screwing Main Street. I mean, that's what they felt. Whether it's true or not, I don't know. I don't have the sophistication and I don't know enough about how that world works to know that Main Street was being messed by Wall Street. But I do know that Wall Street didn't have enough people working in Wall Street that were turning in the people that were potentially screwing Main Street. Maybe they were just all profiting from it. I don't know. But we need people that are going to do the right thing responsibly, not just on Main Street, but there in the high towers in Wall Street, New York.
No, I agree. I mean, I think the issue that comes up there is you've got people that, you know, like I said earlier, it's when you have to put yourself at risk. Those people are putting their jobs at risk and their, you know, careers in the securities industry or in other areas of Wall Street. So, you know, there's got to be significant incentives in place for them to actually take action that's going to, you know, potentially ruin the rest of their career.
You want to join this conversation, you call us at 248-848-1310. Caller, what do you got to say about that? Are we doing the right thing all the time? Should we actually try to remunerate people to do the right thing, Barbara?
When you were talking about remuneration to people, they would lie. That's not the worst of it. You know these, what do they call them, killer angels or something like that go into hospitals, and or maybe they work in a hospital and they want to nearly kill someone so they can get attention. Just think if they were being paid.
What's a killer angel?
Pardon me?
What's a killer angel? What is that?
Oh, they talk about a nurse or an orderly or even a housekeeping person who carries a syringe around, and they like to go in and cause a patient to not, they don't intend to kill them, but they want them to get deathly ill enough that they can be famous, you know, get a lot of attention and maybe a raise and all this. It's the excitement, they say, for saving them.
Well, I don't know. Hopefully that doesn't happen. And I tell
happens
you something.
All the time.
Well, I believe you. I just never heard of that happening. You ever hear of that happening, Dr. Doug?
Only on shows and movies.
Well, that's right. But you know what?
Well,
I can tell you this, Barbara.
It's possible if you're going to start paying them. You know, if you're saying they'll lie to get the money, they might take it a step further and endanger someone to get.
Well, that's true. We lost Barbara. But, you know, it's like Jamie was talking about. I mean, we have a situation where if you try to remunerate people, you're going to find the lowest common denominator is someone who might take advantage of that and profiteer from it, whether it's become famous from it or try to make money from it. Do something that's going to cause them more popularity, get some notoriety for themselves. They might cause a situation and then try to solve it. You know, listen, we have people that look at Kevorkian. I mean, Kevorkian thought he was doing the right thing. He could be this angel of death, right? He can go in and he can try to save people from having any type of pain and suffering. But let's face it, he did it. And everything he did was to cause attention focused on euthanasia and on assisted suicide. Now, he wouldn't cause these people to be sick, but he would find these people, or they would find him, and he would take on the case because he didn't necessarily just want to cure their pain, to stop their pain. He wanted a focus on euthanasia. He ended up going to prison because he went too far, and he murdered someone. He actually caused the death and committed euthanasia, and it's still against the law in the state of Michigan, and they put him in prison. He did 7.5 years in prison because he became notorious. He got a lot of notoriety for doing what he felt was the right thing. You want to join this conversation, you call us at 248-848-1310. And you tell me, is it wrong to try and pay people to be good Samaritans? Because I tell you right now, if we had people that were good Samaritans without having to be paid, we'd have a lot less trouble. We're going to take a break now. You join us after the break at 248-848-1310. This is Scott Weinberg on Crime Time Live.
Have you or a loved one been arrested or charged with a crime? Do you want to stay out of jail and keep your record clean? Hi, I'm attorney Scott Weinberg, host of Crime Time Live, heard Saturday mornings 11 to 12 noon on 1310 WDTW. Call my office anytime to protect your rights at 1-800-NO-JAIL-1 or go to our website at 1-800-NO-JAIL-1.com. We have payment plans for everyone's budget. There should never be a price on protecting your rights. Call 1-800-NO-JAIL-1 right now.
My family found out I was on drugs. They were just terrified.
Everyone that loves her was devastated.
I mean, it got to the point where my mom couldn't even sleep if I wasn't home.
My parents almost got a divorce because of my drug use.
They were constantly bailing me out of trouble and paying off drug dealers and pawn shops and lawyers and hospital bills.
I don't think I'd ever cried as much in my entire life.
There was no time that she didn't worry about what was going on with me, and you could see it on her face.
He did not know how to take control of his life. The drugs had done it.
It was the closest thing to walking death I can imagine.
And I remember my mother saying to me one day, "You're going to die if you don't get help." I wanted to have my life back and my family back. And that's when my mother found Narcanon.
If you or someone you love has a drug or alcohol problem, call Narcanon today at 1-800-468-6933 or visit us at www.stopaddiction.com.
The show. Should good Samaritans ever be sued for what they do? Okay, my opinion is, you want my opinion? No, they shouldn't. As long as they don't act in gross negligence or with willful conduct. You know what? That is the way the statute reads here in Michigan. You can be a good Samaritan. You can be a doctor on an airplane, which brings federal law into account. But you can be a doctor around trying to save someone. You can be an individual, just a schmuck like us, walking around with no training, try to do CPR. And as long as you don't commit gross negligence and willful and wanton conduct, and therefore that guy dies because of it, you're safe. And I think that's the way it should be. I don't think you should be able to sue these people that actually try to do the right thing. Caller, what do you got to say about that? Should they ever be sued if they try to do the right thing? Caller, can you hear me?
Are you asking me?
I am. What's your name?
My name is Chris.
Chris, what do you think? Should we ever be able to sue people that are trying to do the right thing?
No, actually, in answer to that question, no. I was wondering if I could get a, you know, be a caller. I had a question for you know, the show. I'm listening to it. Sure. I don't know if it's live or...
Sure. It's, what question do you get?
Well, we're talking about... they were just talking about whistleblowers and stuff like that.
So do you think we should remunerate whistleblowers? Should they be encouraged to do the right thing in their workplace?
Right. So my question is, it's not quite a workplace issue, but it's more of a issue that's been bugging me for quite a while. I'm wondering, and maybe it's not even something you can answer, but I'm wondering, I'm a sports fan, and I'm wondering about the New England Patriots who were caught cheating. And I'm thinking about Reggie Bush had to give back his Heisman Trophy. Pete Rose is not allowed to be in the Baseball Hall of Fame.
Well, but were they caught cheating against the Lions? Because I'd like the Lions to get that victory back, I tell you that.
Well, the Lions didn't have a chance. But, I mean, I'm really tired as a sports fan to see the New England Patriots paraded around like they're America's team. Tom Brady can do no wrong. I mean, it's gotten to be ridiculous. And I'm thinking, whatever happened to all those tapes? Whatever happened to Bill Belichick? Why aren't they censured? Why shouldn't they forfeit their trophies? I mean, they're headed to get another one, and everyone just sort of swept that under the rug. But Michael Vick went to jail. Roethlisberger got suspended. There wasn't even a conviction on what he did.
All right. Well, let's
that's because they
on,
know every
let's,
team
so,
does it.
So let's focus on that. So the issue is: are you saying that people aren't being held accountable for their illegal actions, their criminal actions? Is that what you're saying? They're not being held accountable for it?
Right, right. I mean, they got caught cheating.
Yeah, I know, but isn't that different than saying someone should be encouraged to do the right thing? Someone should be encouraged to turn in someone if they're a pro athlete and they're cheating on their tests and cheating on their drug test and they know about it. Shouldn't they be encouraged to turn those people in? I mean, that is the whistleblowing we're talking about, encouraging responsible good behavior and not necessarily not punishing the bad behavior. Because what you're talking about is they got away with it.
Yes, so I'm the whistleblower. I'm saying New England got caught cheating. And like me and the New York Jets, we're saying, what's going to happen? Why was that swept under the rug?
Well, I can tell you that one of the major things, thanks for calling, one of the major things is trying to not only encourage responsible behavior, but what we're talking about with either a good Samaritan or a whistleblower, trying to find a way to encourage that behavior either by paying them, by rewarding them, by doing something, because what you're talking about is how come we're not catching the people that are doing the wrong behavior, and when we catch them, why aren't we punishing them even more? I mean, I think that if someone gets caught, like you're talking about with Reggie Bush, or someone gets caught in some kind of felonious situation like Michael Vick, where he is caught, punished, he does his time, should he be allowed to come back into the NFL? Should he be allowed to play again? I think he paid his debt to society. What are these NFL football players, such high and mighty people in this world? Are they are if we went through and did a drug test, quite frankly, of every game, of every day, how many of these guys we find that are taking steroids and are taking drugs and illicit drugs? Can we actually say that these are choir boys that we can't have Michael Vick play with? I think they absolutely should have let him come back into the NFL and play. He did his debt to society. Most people would have said, if it wasn't Michael Vick, he never would have even been prosecuted, let alone go to federal prison because he had dogfighting. Not encouraging dogfighting. I'm saying that we picked on him because he was a celebrity, because he actually was somewhat of notoriety. So the question is, do we actually, and we've covered this in other shows, do the celebrities, do they get off more because they're celebrities? Or do they get picked on more, and when they get caught, are they punished more because of the notoriety? We're going to wait till next time to be able to talk about that. Next show, we're going to be talking about, that's right, we are going to be talking about our current governor, our current state of Michigan. We're going to try to talk to Governor-elect Snyder again and find out exactly what is he going to do with these laws in the state of Michigan that are not encouraging people to bring their companies here to Michigan. Should we revise the tax code? Should we have a business tax that encourages innovation, that encourages people to come to this state? Or should we have a tax that actually drives business out? Should we encourage these film industry companies to be able to come here and produce films and be able to have tax incentives for them to stay? Or should we forget about those, that they're basically some type of game, that they don't encourage that kind of investment and try to restructure our tax code so we can encourage other types of businesses. We're going to try to talk to Governor Snyder next time here on Crime Time Live. We want to thank our guests, Alan from New York, Dr. Doug, and James from Chicago. They did a wonderful job, and we always encourage anybody that wants to be talking about the regular things that people are curious about to call at 248-848-1310 here on Crime Time Live. I'm your host, Scott Weinberg. You can call me anytime during the week at 248-855-1400. Can I encourage you? You feel like you're picked on? You feel like you don't have any rights? Well, let me tell you something. We always protect your rights here on Crime Time Live. We shine all over those rights in Metro Detroit, and we encourage you to take advantage of those, whether it's your Second Amendment rights, your Fourth Amendment rights. Listen, you go to that TSA booth and you go through the security and you be thankful that you are actually going on a plane that is trying to be protected by people that are working hard. Whether they're trained or not, you make sure that you go on that plane and you look and you see whether or not anybody is suspicious. And you think someone's suspicious, you go to the TSA guy because you have to protect your own rights. Wait for the government to protect them for you. This is Scott Weinberg on Crime Time Live. See you next week. Identify.